We're in 1 John chapter 3 this morning, and we're going to talk about a very important topic, and that is assurance. Oftentimes you hear Christians say, you know, I need assurance that I'm saved. I need assurance that God is with me. And that's what this passage is about here in 1 John 3, starting in verse 19. The Bible says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." So our title will be Assure Our Hearts. Assure our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word, how powerful and beautiful it is, and that we have a copy of it, and we can open it together now and hear from the Holy Spirit and pray that we would push aside any distractions and focus on hearing from you, that you might work miracles in our hearts and grow us. Lord, I pray that everyone in this room can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are with them, that you have saved them, that you are willing to answer their prayers. Pray that you would be honored with this time in your word, and that you would guide us. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So really two things he focused on in this passage that we're going to focus on this morning, and that is number one, assurance of salvation, and number two, assurance of answered prayer. So let's start by talking about assurance of salvation. No book more than 1 John talks about evidences, if you will, of salvation, which we're going to talk about in a moment. God wants us to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we are saved. Amen? Look at chapter 5, verse 13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may" what? "Know that you have eternal life." God does not want Christians to go through their Christian life wondering, am I saved? Am I not saved? And of course, people that lose their salvation are constantly wondering, did I lose it? Did I get it back? God wrote his word so that we could know, amen, that we have eternal life. And no book more than this book gives us what I would call evidences of salvation. We actually just did a study on this at Potato a few weeks ago. There are four in this book alone. So let's look at what they are. Verse 14 of chapter 3. And these are just ways that we can look into our own heart. The Bible says, examine yourselves, right, in 2 Corinthians 13, whether you be in the faith. It never hurts to examine your own heart and say, am I saved? Am I born again? Because prayer doesn't save. Church doesn't save. Only Jesus saves. So, what 3:14, look what it says. We know. You're going to see that word a lot. We know that we have passed from death into life. Why? Because we love the brethren. So one evidence of salvation is we have a love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And by the way, love is action, which you've all heard a couple times. In verse 17 and 18, he tells us his action. "Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And so if you, evidences might be, it might be the perfect word, but 1 John says, we know that we're saved. We've passed from death into life. One of the reasons we know that we're saved is because God has put in our hearts a love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Didn't Jesus say, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, in John 13:35, if you have love one to another? So that's one. Number two is verse 22, which we're going to look at again later. But it says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Another evidence of salvation is that we get our prayers answered. That's kind of basic, isn't it? But if you've been saved for 10 years and you can never say that you've had a direct answer to prayer in your life, you really should examine your heart and say, am I saved? Honestly. I'm not talking general prayers. Lord, bless the world. Lord, bless everybody. I mean a specific prayer that only you and God know, and that you know God answered. We should all have those. They build our faith like nothing else when we know God answered my prayer. So that's another one. And verse 24 is another one. It says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." So the third evidence of our salvation is the indwelling Holy Ghost. You would think that if someone moved in and started rearranging the furniture, we'd know it. Amen? If God Almighty moved in, which he has done if you're saved, and there's never been a change, things aren't new, old things aren't passed away, the Holy Spirit never communes with your spirit that you are the children of God, like it says in Romans 8:16. Wouldn't hurt to stop and ask the question. So, a love for the brethren, answered prayer, the indwelling Holy Ghost. The last one's in chapter 2, verse 3, where God says, "And hereby we do know that we know him." How about that for a phrase? "If we" what? "Keep his commandments." A desire to obey God's word. God instills that in us as his children. Do we do it perfectly? Of course not. We're sinners. The old man is still hanging around. But there's an innate desire to please God, to honor God. Because he's our Savior, he's our Master, he's our Lord. There's a desire to obey his word. If there's no desire, if you really could care less what God says in his word, in his commandments, you're just going to do your own thing, maybe you should examine yourself. God wants every Christian to have assurance, as it says here in verse 19 of chapter 3, assure our hearts. Everyone should have assurance that they are a born-again Christian, have received eternal life, they're going to heaven. And they don't question it. If you question it, get it sorted. It's never wrong to get it sorted. Now, you can only get saved once, but I love the old saying they say down south in America, better to get saved twice than nuts. Amen. And you can't get saved twice, but you know what I'm saying. It's better to make sure than for the rapture to come and you're standing there and everybody's gone and you're like, uh-oh, I blew that one. You're in for some major trouble. God wants us to have assurance that we're saved. And if we are saved, my friend, you are saved. You are secure. Amen? We've studied this. We've talked about it. But if you're a born-again Christian, you're a child of God. He's not going to kick you back out of his family. If you're a born-again Christian, you have eternal life. Not temporary life. If you're born again Christian, the Bible says God keeps your salvation. You don't keep it yourself because you can't. You're not able. If you're a born again Christian, you're now in Jesus. Amen. You're part of him. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You're sealed by the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. We could go on and on. If you're born again Christian, you're born again Christian forever. Hallelujah. And God wants us to have that assurance in our hearts that we are saved. Now, one I didn't mention because it's not in 1 John is chastisement. Hebrews chapter 12, read it sometime, verses 1 through 11, where God says all are partakers. So if you've been saved from, say, more than a year or two, and you've never been chastised by God, God says maybe you should just do a cross check, make sure you're saved. But if you have felt the rod of God on your spiritual backside, that's another good evidence too. But let's go back to our passage. He wants us to have this assurance, but verse 20, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. It's good when our heart condemns us. Amen? This is when God convicts us of sin. Which, by the way, the world doesn't understand because they don't have the Holy Spirit to convict them through the Word of God. But God does this so that we will get right. Amen. In Isaiah 59, if you want to turn there, verse 1, God makes it very clear that sin hinders God working in our life. It's not that God can't, it's that He won't. Isaiah 59, verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is it heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." It's not that He cannot hear, it's that He will not hear. Sin hinders not our relationship, but our fellowship with God. It hinders our prayer life. It hinders the Spirit's ability to lead us and guide us. We've got to deal with the sin. But verse 21 of our passage, 1 John 3, if our heart condemn us not, then what? We have confidence. That's what we all call a clear conscience, right? And a lot of people struggle with sleep, have sleep issues or whatever. I remember my father-in-law, who's in heaven now, he could sleep anywhere. Thankfully not in church, but he could sleep anywhere at any time, slept like a baby right up until God took him. And people would often make a comment, he's like, clear conscience. That's what he would always say. Clear conscience. It's like, amen. 1 Timothy 1:19 says that we need to have a clear conscience. And if we do, what does it do? It builds confidence, as we read here in this verse. We have confidence towards God. 1 Timothy 1:19, holding faith and a good conscience. God gave us this conscience. It's one of the things that sets us apart from the animals, isn't it? He put that in us to know that we have, that there is a God, but also to bring conviction when we do wrong. And when we do wrong, what are we supposed to do? But 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us their sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's not talking about being cleansed to go to heaven. He's talking about being cleansed to restore the fellowship with our Heavenly Father. When we sin, the relationship never changes. We're His child. Amen? But the fellowship gets hindered by sin. What we need is for our heart to condemn us not, so that we can have what? Confidence. Amen? Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God wants every Christian to walk around with confidence. God's with me. Amen? Like we talked about in Sunday school this morning, God is on my side. I will not fear. And that's only true if we, our heart is not condemning us, if we've dealt with the sin. You know, that when you think about the disciples, for example, pre versus post cross. Pre-cross, they didn't have a lot of confidence, did they? I mean, when Jesus died on the cross, they should have known that He had to die on the cross, because He told them multiple times. But what did they do? But they ran and hid. It's only the women that stood by Jesus at the cross. The disciples disappeared into the woodwork. But then after Jesus came back, and after He spent time with them, and after the Holy Ghost came down and filled them, different people, weren't they? Bold, telling everybody they could, seeing thousands of people saved, seeing churches planted, same guys. But now they had confidence. God is with us. God is in us. God has empowered us. Let's go. And that's exactly what they did. What a change happened in their lives. But God wants every Christian to have this confidence toward God because their conscience is clear. They have no question that they are God's child, that assurance of salvation. But let's talk about this second assurance in verse 22. And that is the assurance that God hears and answers our prayers. It says, whatsoever we ask. You know, we could just stop there and start a cult, couldn't we? That's what happens when you take stuff out of context. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Amen. Let's just stop right there. But that's not where it stops, is it? There's a because. Because we what? Keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So yes, we can have confidence that God is a prayer-answering God, but not if we're not striving to live an obedient Christian life. We have to be in tune with God's will. Look at 1 John 5:14. And these are the two assurances that God wants every Christian to have. This confidence that, number one, I know I'm a Christian. Number two, I know God answers my prayers. 1 John 5:14. Oh, that's 2 John. And this is the confidence that we have in him. There's that word again. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Assurance of answered prayer. Confidence. So how do we know that our will is in tune with his will? Well, there's a couple of things he gives us in his word. It starts with this verse, obedience. If we're striving to obey God's word, then we can believe that God hears our prayers and answers them. Amen. Starts there. Also, we talked about sin, but Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, a lot of you know the rest, right? The Lord, what? Will not hear me. Amen? The Lord will not hear me. So sin hinders prayer, so we've got to deal with the sin. And then, of course, faith. Matthew 21:22, if you want to turn there quickly. But God says without faith it's impossible to please him, right? In Hebrews 11:6. Matthew 21:22, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer. And there's this little word in there, it's kind of important. Believing, you shall receive. Amen? So if we want the assurance of answered prayer, we must be striving to obey the word of God, deal with the sin in our lives, and believe that God answers prayer. And of course, Mark 11:25 is another one. Let's turn there. And that is part of this loving one another is forgiving. Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, next word, forgive. Amen. If there's unforgiveness, it's going to hinder our prayer lives. And then, of course, gratitude. We've got to have gratitude. So we've got to have all five of those things if we want to be in tune with God's will and have confidence that he hears our prayers. What are those five things? Obedience, sin confessed, faith, forgiveness, and gratitude. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Amen. Philippians 4:6, if you want to turn there, talks about gratitude being part of our prayer life. Philippians 4:6. Says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. So one of the reasons, one of the most common words in 1 John is this word know or knoweth. God wants us to know some things. Amen? He wants us to know that we have eternal life. He said that's one of the reasons why he wrote the epistle, so we could know we have eternal life. And he wants us to know that he hears and answers our prayers. He wants us to know these things. As we saw in verse 14, he wants us to know we're a Christian because we love the brethren. He wants us to know that we're one of his children because we have the Holy Ghost who speaks to us. Which I didn't turn there, but look at chapter 4, verse 13. I should have turned there. Regarding the Holy Ghost. He says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. So there's that word know again. And of course, this desire to be an obedient Christian, to obey his word. God wants our hearts to be assured. Amen? I know I'm a Christian, and I know God answers my prayers. But it's up to us to be right with him so that we can have that, as he talks here, confidence. Not that we're being self-righteous, not that we believe we're better than others, but we should all be able to say, I know I'm saved. I don't question it a bit. And I know that my God answers my prayers because I'm striving to be aligned with His will, right? 1 John 5:14, according to His will. And we saw some of the ways that is necessary. We're obeying, we've got our sin confessed, we have faith, we are forgiving, and we have gratitude. If those things are true in our life, what does God want us in verse 19? That we will assure our hearts before Him. Amen. God wants us to live a life of assurance. Because without it, we're tossed to and fro, as the Bible says. God does not want Christians walking around wondering, am I saved? Is God hearing me? No. He wants us to be assured that these things are true in our lives. Oftentimes, Christians will come and they'll say, you know, I'm not sure I'm saved. What do you do with that? You take them through the gospel again and you get them to trust God again. There's nothing wrong with that. You give them what we often call assurance. And if they were already saved, so be it. There's nothing wrong with trusting God again and making sure you're saved. You don't ever say to someone, oh, don't worry about it, you're saved. No, just give them the assurance. Everyone should know and have, as there's a word in verse 21, that confidence. I know I'm a Christian and I know God answers my prayers. Doesn't hurt even, I know, in the old days, it used to be a notebook, but it doesn't hurt to maybe have a list in your phone of the answered prayers in your life. Amen? And to review them every now and then and say, wow, God, look at that prayer, look at that prayer, look at that prayer that God answered in my life. Praise the Lord. He's a prayer answering God. He loves us. He's given us everything. And He wrote this beautiful epistle so that we could know some things. And I hope we know these things. He finishes there in chapter 5, if you want to turn there, in verse 20. And we know, amen, we know that the Son of God has come, hallelujah. If you don't know that, you can't be saved. And have given us an understanding that we may know Him. That is true. So not only to know that He came, but that we know Him and we are in Him. Amen? That is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. We know He's come. We know He's given us an understanding. We know He is true. We know we are in Him. We know we have eternal life. I hope everybody can say those things. I know these things, and I've assured my heart before Him. If not, sort it out. Always happy to talk to someone that needs assurance anytime. But it usually comes down to sin. Usually it's sin that hinders that confidence. So we need to assure our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, we love You so much. We just are so thankful You've made these things so clear in Your Word, especially in this epistle. And I pray, Lord, that every one of us would have that assurance in our hearts that we're saved and that You answer our prayers. If not, Lord, may we get it sorted. You're always ready. You're always willing. You're always there. Take anyone. And I pray that that would get sorted in every heart. Thank You for speaking to us, and we love You so much. Pray for Your will in every heart here. Someone not sure, 100% that they're born again, may they get that sorted.